You're listening to ThoughtCast. I'm Jenny Atia, and I'm sitting at the bar at Sandrine's. It's a French bistro here in Cambridge, and I'm waiting for the arrival of Patricia Afterheide. She is one of the bigwigs who's going to be having dinner here shortly, and she promised me an interview beforehand. She's running a little bit late, but believe me, she's worth the wait. She's the founder and director of the Center for Social Media, which is under the auspices of the School of Communication at American University. And to crib from her bio here, the center showcases and analyzes media for social justice, democracy, and civil society. Sounds like a good Beyond broadcaster. Well, I'm happy to report that Patricia did arrive, and we were able to speak just before the food hit the tablecloth. I wanted to just basically get your thoughts, Pat, on the fact that, first of all, you've been very involved with the planning of this conference, so you know its bones, its structure. The thesis of it seems to be that now is a really good time for the traditional public media, like NPR, to embrace the revolutionaries, the podcasters, the bloggers, the netizens, who are really in need of a larger audience. Why now? Why is now a good time?
You know, we've been talking about seeing this moment come for so long, and like, poof, it's here. I'm more focused on the audiovisual stuff. Some people are more focused on the audio stuff. But suddenly, all of the capacity to be able to produce and launch on the web is happening at the same time that mass media still are extremely important in people's lives. So we have two basically very, very different modes of communicating, both very alive in our culture. So it's, and both of them have elements that are utopian in their way. The dream that we can use communication to improve our lives, to facilitate our ability to understand each other. So what happens to that utopian vision in both of these systems at this moment? They're not necessarily colliding. I would say they mostly don't collide. I would say mass media is going right on, and participatory collaborative media is blooming. And there is a space that they share that I call public, other people might have other words for it, that's about that dream that we can use communication to be able to improve our ability to live together.
You are a bit of a revolutionary yourself, a left-winger, to put it more mildly. How do you see these tools, this moment, to be helpful, useful at a time when our government is not?
Well, that's a really interesting question. I think that I exist on the left by default, by the definition of extremely life-denying political forces that exist to maintain the power of a few. I don't believe that I'm left-wing in the sense of being unusual, different, marginal, strident, or revolutionary. I think that most people want what I want, which is the ability to live decently, to raise your children in an atmosphere of hope rather than fear, to be able to live with your neighbor in a way that is mutually respectful, to be able to live in that same sense in a geopolitical world that's extremely small. We have a government that doesn't seem to think that that is necessary at the moment, but that's kind of not my problem. So I sort of don't think that I'm that unusual. What I think is really exciting about what's going on now is that the demand for ordinary respect and the hope that we can communicate with each other in a way that can promote a more successful way, a less stressful way of getting along, a more equitable way of living together, we have been empowered by our technology and by the dream that that's possible. So this is a terrific moment. Public broadcasting, NPR, public radio and television stations really have articulated a vision that some people call liberal. I would say is reasonable for a democracy. The idea that people want to and should be allowed to know about important issues that affect everybody. And what we have now is a moment when people can both individually express themselves and find other people to collaborate with and to enrich that knowledge and to create a platform for social action that really is unparalleled in history.
This dream that you think could come true, it's now is the time. What are the obstacles or the threats to that happening?
That's a very good question. I think the things that impair the possibility of people communicating with each other at the grassroots, at the level of citizenry, in order to understand each other better, are the same ones that have impaired us at every point. That the forces that are most powerful benefit best from people being disaggregated. And that the communication systems are rewarded, find their best economic reward through distraction. So, none of this is new. It's incumbents like their advantage. Incumbents want to protect their advantage. People would like to have a moment of oblivion in their days facing the challenge of being alive today now, and they are willing to pay for that. And I think, life is hard, and people who are powerful like to stay powerful. And that's always been true, and that's going to continue to be true. So I don't think there are any new challenges. I think they're the old ones.
Well, thank you. I'll let you have dinner. Watermelon soup and salad and chocolate mousse.
Yeah, a bit of your watermelon soup. I wanted the salad so bad, but I'm dying to find out what happens with watermelon soup.